Hey, everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about the attacks from the enemy of your soul. And I want to ask you a question. Are you inside of a battle right now? And it feels like one after another, the enemy is just throwing arrows at you. And it could be arrows from your circumstances or arrows from a wound from another person, but you just feel attacked. Well, the truth of the matter is that when you press forward into your purpose, well, the enemy is not going to like that, and he is going to attack. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that one of the things that he uses to attack us with are fiery arrows. It tells us this in Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all of this, talking about all of the pieces of the armor of God that God has just explained in this passage, it says, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, I want us to just really concentrate on that one verse today, because we can really skim over that and not really go deep into it, but I found so much in the Word today that I want to share with you. And today, I'm really speaking to those women who are just worn out from the battle. And you feel like the enemy is attacking you everywhere. Now, the first thing that I want to say is that when you follow Christ, when you make a decision to follow him, that the battle has just begun. And we shouldn't be surprised when the attacks from the enemy come. In fact, one of the most positive things that you can do when the enemy shoots his arrows at you, you know, all those lies he feeds you, the arrow of shame, the arrow of feeding you with those lies, telling you you're a bad Christian and your purpose really doesn't matter. All those things that he does, the division that he creates inside of your family, inside of your friendships, inside of your church fellowships, he's at the root of it all. And it can be exhausting when the enemy attacks. And one of my responses to his attacks is, well, let me just avoid these arrows. In other words, instead of staying on the game field, on the battlefield, I just want to retreat, right? Because if following Christ, if walking out into my purpose means that I'm going to be faced with this pressure, you know, there's just a part of me that wants to just retreat from it all. But that's really not living. So you see, God wants us with the arrows in our life, not to try to avoid them, but extinguish them. Not to avoid them, but extinguish them. And the truth of the matter is that we're always going to be facing arrows. And the Bible says this, that we need to hold up the shield of faith to stop and extinguish the fiery arrows of the devil. And I want to ask you a question. If you are listening today and you're facing battle after battle after battle and the attacks are coming from everywhere, have you been like me this week, tempted to just say, you know what? I just want to crawl into a hole, right? Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. You know, when I was growing up, I played soccer and I played left halfback. And if you've played soccer, then you know about this. But if you don't, you're going to get just a little bit of lesson on this. So the position of halfback is right in the middle of the field, and you're not a forward, you know, working on offense, and you're not necessarily a defender working on defense. In fact, you're running both. And so when I played halfback, because we kind of supported both efforts, there was a lot of running around. And so what a good coach will do is he will have extra halfbacks and rotate you in and out of the field when you get exhausted. And so when you come out and step out on the field, in other words, when I'm standing on the sidelines, nobody's trying to come and take the ball away from me or defend me or attack me on the soccer field, right? But when I step into the game, that, you know, that the opposing team wants to steal the ball. They want to take away what I'm trying to pursue. And the same is the truth about us, that you have a plan and a purpose that God has intended for your life. And that when we sit on the sidelines, that really the enemy's not going to mess with us, and he really doesn't care. Now, he'll still throw darts, right? But who he's really after are those who say, you know what, I'm willing to get into the ring. I'm willing to get into the game. And from an eternal perspective, that getting in the game means loving people. It means being a mom, right? And saying, I'm going to love and nurture my children. Or it could be perhaps maybe that you are an entrepreneur and you're starting a business and you want that business not just to be a business, but for the glory of the Lord. Or maybe it is that God's calling you to start that small group or that prayer group. And or could it perhaps be that you're even a teacher at a school or a professor at a university and you've made a decision that you're going to stand firm in your faith, and by doing that, you're advancing the kingdom of God. Well, when you make that decision to advance the kingdom of God, you're going against the kingdom of darkness, right? And so the enemy is going to attack you with arrows. And the temptation can be to just quit and just stop, to stop praying for that marriage in your life that's so broken, to give up on God healing you from that cancer, right? And it's just to arrest and stop. But God says, I need you on the battlefield, and I've got just what you need, not to avoid the arrows or arrest them, because they will never stop. That's like an impossible goal, right? But I want you to extinguish them. In other words, I want you to take away their power by resting, by faith in my power. That's why the word says to hold up that shield of faith. Now, in today's talk, I want to talk about, and the enemy can throw all different kinds of arrows at us, but I want to specifically discuss that arrow of shame. And when I think about an arrow, I think about a message, right, that's been sent into my heart, and that message of shame. And one of the ways that the enemy does this to us, and there's many different arrows, right? There's the arrow of pride and there's the arrow of division. Today, I want to talk about that arrow of shame. Now, one of the ways that shame surfaces in our life, and the reason why I chose shame to talk about was one, because that's the way God led me. But the other thing is nothing will steal your confidence more, or I should say your confidence, right, than shame. And I absolutely hate shame. I hate what it's done in my life. I hate what it's done inside of the many women that I talk to, that I encounter through Treasured Ministries. But God says, I have a solution for that. And you can war off. You will always have to address arrows, because the Bible tells us in Revelation that the enemy is our accuser, and he accuses the brethren day and night. He's constantly throwing those arrows at us. But God says, you must hold up your shield of faith. Well, so the first way that this can come into our life these arrows, these messages of shame can come into our life are when we use the world's measurements or standards from others or standards that we make up of ourselves to define our worth and value. In other words, if we believe how much we weigh or how much money we make or what kind of house that we live in or just any all manner of things in our life, or perhaps you are, you are tempted to be like I am, a people pleaser, and you attach your worth and value to what other people say about you, or perhaps it is that you need to be perfect. And all of those things, right? All of these things attach our worth and value to an outside source. And so when we do that, the enemy can just have a heyday with us. And we can begin, because the thing about it is that one day our circumstances will be up, the next day they'll be down. One day, come on, talk to me about this. One day your weight is up and the next day it's down. And so the enemy can just have a field day with you. And your joy and your strength are not dependent on the Lord. It's dependent on what is around you. Okay? And the solution for this arrow is absolutely worship, because see, worshiping disarms the power of that arrow. Because when we worship God, it places our faith in Him. It's a way that we can lift that shield of faith so that we can live an authentic, faith-filled life instead of listening to or shouldering that shame that the enemy gives us. And it's very important for us, because here's the thing, there was a time in my life where I would feel, you know, like I was rock solid in my identity in Christ, and then maybe something would happen, and I would feel that insecurity again, and when I would ride that wave, a lot of times what the enemy would do, how many of you can resonate with this? The enemy would come in, and then he would attack me, make me feel bad, tell me I was a bad Christian because I wasn't confident, because I was feeling feelings of insecurity. Well, guess what? Can we just blow the lid right off that right now? Because the truth is that when you look in, number one, let me say this. Faith is present tense. Faith is present tense, and that means I need daily truth for victory. That means I need a word every single day, that I need to position myself to hear God's word, to build my faith so that I can become all God has created me to be, right? And so we need a word from God every day, because faith is present tense, and that means that we have to stay close to Jesus, and that there's plenty in this world that's going to convince us not to have faith. And so our faith is present tense. It's present tense. That we need to stay very close to God. Now, when you look inside of the Bible, you see even the great prophet Jeremiah, who loved the Lord. He loved the Lord and he served him faithfully. And he faced all kinds of rejection as he brought forth prophecy that God had asked him to bring forth. And it wasn't popular prophecy, right? But his own people even came after him and rejected him. And there's this great scripture inside of Jeremiah. It's one of my favorites. And it's Jeremiah 20:11. And it runs all the way through 18. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but what I want you to see how David starts out confident as he's talking, and then all of a sudden flips to this place of desperation and despair. Verse 11 says this, "But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior." Don't you just love that scripture? I do. "Before him, my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of the heavens' armies, you test those who are righteous and you examine the deepest thoughts and secrets." And then he goes on and on to talk about the Lord. He says, "Sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord. For though I was poor and needy, he rescued me from my oppressors." And then in the next sentence, we hear that insecurity comes out. He says, yet I curse the day I was born. May no one else celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, good news, you have a son. And then he goes on and on, and it says, why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame. Anybody else listening today, and you've experienced those arrows of trouble, of sorrow, and of shame. And so even Jeremiah, in the great faith that he had to do all that God had called him to do, felt the weight of the arrows from the enemy. And so if you ever feel that way, in other words, when we look inside of the Gospels, I love the scene where Jesus is asking Peter, well, Peter, who do you say I am? And so Peter says, you're the Messiah. And Jesus praises him. And then in the following verses, Jesus announces that he's going to have to suffer, die, and be resurrected. And Peter comes, and the Bible says, actually rebukes him. You can read through this. I'm not going to do it verse by verse, but it's inside Matthew 16. And so he comes, and Jesus comes to him, and he says, you're looking at things only from a human point of view. And so isn't that wild how we can be full of faith one minute and then fickle on our faith the next? I mean, inside of Matthew 15, Peter gets out of the boat, right? And so we should be excited that Peter got out of the boat. And that took a lot of faith, right, to get out of the boat. But then it says when he saw the waves, he started to sink. And then Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. And see, our faith is fickle, because our faith can fluctuate. And a lot of times we need to see, you know, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he says, you're looking at things from a human point of view and not God's perspective. So how do we get into God's perspective? Well, we worship him. We worship him. One of the most powerful things that you can do, because here's the thing, worship intercepts insecurity. Worship intercepts insecurity. And one of the most powerful things that you can do is just to praise the Lord. It is one of the most powerful things. I want to challenge you to get a worship song for this season in life, right? Like Google, you know who are good people to ask, like, what's a great worship song? If you have friends that are in the worship, you know, team or whatever at church, ask them, right? Or if you want and you're inside the Treasure Tribe, just post. Somebody will respond to you. But anyway, you can have like a worship theme song and just listen to that praise music and listen to it in your car, and to the point where you just know those words and you can sing that song and praise him. Because when we praise God, and our view of God is vital to becoming who God wants us to be. And so what happens is that all that stuff that we're worried about, it just seems to fade away, and it just seems to become small. And the reality is, because we've changed our perspective, our perspective of God is bigger. God was always big, but it's our perspective that has changed. And so worship is how you disarm the power of just looking to those worldly standards. And then the next thing that I want to talk to you about disarming the arrows from the enemy, and the other way that he puts shame in our life, is through the power of confession. I cannot wait to share this with you. And let me go back. It's actually through the power of confession and repentance. And here's the idea of that. When I sin, you know, the enemy will come in and accuse you, and he will attack. And one of the things that he would love to convince you to do is to hide and try to handle your sin on your own instead of going to God and getting the healing that you need. Because see, Satan wants you away from God in your time in need. And so instead of coming to God God. He convinces you because he says you broke God's law. You did wrong, right? You cannot approach the throne and get the help that you need. Now, that's not what the Bible says. And we may not articulate that, but see, when we come to God or when we pull away from God, for example, I mean, here's the way, I hear this, I know when I say this, somebody is going to be like, yes, I so know. What about when you miss your quiet time and all of a sudden there's like quiet time guilt, right? And that's so not from God. And so it would just take a hot second for us to hop into God's presence or just to pray and say, Lord, you know what? I know I can pray to you anytime and that enemy is lying to me, right? But instead, we pull away from God more and more and more. And see, here's the thing, when we've made a mistake, when we're harboring jealousy or anger or unforgiveness, the Bible tells us that God has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can soar over those things. But while we choose to continue to hide from God, not getting the help that we need, that is going to, we're trying to handle things on our own. And see, all about lifting the shield of faith, because faith has to have an object. It's all about putting your faith in God. And so just like if you have a doctor and the doctor is very kind and loving, but if you just say, I'm going to hide all my problems from him because I'm ashamed of my problems, well, he can't help you. And there's a way. It's like when we bring something into the light, it takes away the power. Like the enemy cannot accuse you anymore because you've settled it with God, right? You've brought it forth towards God. And here's the other thing that happens with confession, I believe when it's done properly, is that when we're ready to change, we can just ask God, God, give me a next step to take. And that next step, that's your turn. That's your repentance. That is your healing that happens after you come into God's presence and you refrain from that hiding. All right, I've got to read you these scriptures. It's just going to blow you away. It just blew me away. I love this scripture. This is Psalm 76, verse 3. There he has broken the fiery arrows of the enemy, the shields and the swords and the weapons of war. Okay, so hallelujah. God can break the arrows of any enemy, okay, any earthly, certainly the enemy, right? And so in the beginning of that scripture, it says, there he has broken the fiery arrows. Well, where is there? So you pop back up to verse 2, and it says, Jerusalem is where he lives. Mount Zion is his home. So it is in Mount Zion that these arrows that the enemy throws at us are broken. So if we want to compare scripture to scripture, so if you go over to Hebrews chapter 12, and then you pop over starting into verse 18, and again, I'm not going to read through every scripture because we don't have time, but you should go back and read these scriptures. So it's Matthew 18, and I'm going 18 all the way through 25. But there's a contrast that's given here between the two covenants, between the two mountains. And God is, we're contrasting coming to Mount Sinai versus coming to Mount Zion. And Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given. Mount Zion, that's where the Holy Spirit was given. Okay, so it says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind as the Israelites did in Mount Sinai. And that's when they came to get the law, right? For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches this mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight of it that he said, I'm terrified and I'm trembling. Now, that's what the enemy wants us to feel about coming to God. And so because we might be afraid to be authentic with God, we don't come to him and get the help that we need. But then it says, no, You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance, like the blood of Abel. Verse 25, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. So they're comparing these two mountains, and basically the comparison is there to let us remember the awesome gift that you and I have to going boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 tells us to go boldly before the throne of grace and get the help that we need, because we have a great high priest who loves us, who he's the mediator of the new covenant, and surely on the truth and on the gift of the grace of God, you and I do not have to fear coming to the Lord to get the help that we need. And there's something powerful about confession. You sincerely bringing something into the light, because when you bring it into the light, it disarms the arrow of the accuser from the enemy. It disarms it. And not only that, but once we own it, God will give us a direction to go in. When you look in the Bible, God, when Jesus healed people, there was always a step that they needed to take, right? It was either put mud on your eyes or whatever it may be. And part of confession, what I have experienced, is it's like there is a, you can hear God speaking to you very clearly about a next step. And to me, the gift is coming to Him and saying, God, I'm so jealous, and I know I shouldn't be, but, and so I just own that, and I confess that before you, and I need help. I need your Holy Spirit, right? And the Bible promises us, because see, the difference between those two covenants, it's not that the law, God still wants us to live inside of His principles, right? But now we have a new power to do so. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And see, while we're pulling away, while we're blaming other people instead of just confessing it or whatever, then we're hiding from God and we're trying to handle it on our own. And Jesus says, you just come and bring it to me. And that's faith. Because really, if we're talking about, see, because before with the old covenant, you had to keep the law perfectly, right? And so now in the new covenant, Jesus has kept it for us. And so that gives me access to the throne. And so the whole time, God loves me and He is for me and He's given me access to the throne. Now, I think sometimes we're the body of Christ, and I certainly did this inside of my faith until, the Lord really taught me, is that there's a misunderstanding of grace, that grace means I do whatever I want to do. I have this license that I can do whatever I, want to do, and I can just become blind to sin and whatever. And I think that's why this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 is so beautiful, because it reminds us of the gift of grace that God has given us, number one. And number two, the other difference of that is that now we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that you access that is by being authentic and not bringing God your righteous works and your perfectionism, but being authentic with Him and letting Him release you of that shame. Because when the enemy comes to attack you again, you can say, yeah, I know, you're right. I did feel jealous. You are right. But I've confessed that now, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to give me the power to rise over it. So, enemy, you cannot use that in my court anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's the other way that you can, you know, in darkness, sin grows. In light, it finds healing. And when you bring your sin into the light, it takes away the power from the enemy. All right. Okay. So then the last thing that I want to talk to you about, the last arrow of shame, because we experience shame. I've been talking about the three different ways and the three different remedies. One is by standards that we use from others, measurements from the world. And we talked about how worship helps us overcome that. We also talked about how our faith can be fickle. And so this lifting of the shield of faith needs to happen every single day. And then we talked about the other way shame can come into our life is when we've blown it, right? When we've sinned, and then we hide that sin, and then the enemy accuses us with arrows. And all the while, God, the Holy Spirit is right there to say, let me just pick you up and let me put you back on track in such a way that it is going to be a beautiful healing inside of your life, right? And so confession is the second way so that we can relieve that shame from mistakes that we have made. The third way is through forgiveness. Now, confession is when you get forgiveness for or ask for forgiveness for things that you've done. But oftentimes when people hurt us, we can shoulder the shame of their actions. Many little children believe if they grew up in an abusive home that it's their fault, right, for what happened to them. And so they're shouldering that shame. And it could almost sort of feel like if somebody has abused us or hurt us, and specifically today, I want to talk to you about emotional abuse, about people who have said words over you that are arrows. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But so when that happens to us, part of our reaction to shield ourselves from those feelings is anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And all the while, we're just feeding this poison inside of us instead of releasing that arrow. It's much like somebody has attacked us with an arrow and that arrow has gone into us. But when it has gone into us, that we're not doing anything to take the arrow out. Now, I wish I had time to unpack this today, but let me just say this, that for years, I had a misunderstanding of forgiveness, and it used to make me very angry, that command. And honestly, now sometimes it's still a challenge. It's still like I have to pray and ask God to help me every single time. But it used to be that I thought forgiveness meant I'm supposed to be buddy with this person again. I'm supposed to trust this person again. But if you want to get down to what forgiveness really is on a basic level, you are releasing your right to retaliate. And releasing that responsibility to God. That is a basic forgiveness. And certainly with that, then God tells us to pray for our enemies, to bless our enemies. And certainly with that, that can open up the door to trust again. It can open up the door to reconciliation. But it by no means means that God is asking you to trust that person again. And many times I would be very frustrated because I would sit in church and I would hear forgive. And I would want to say, well, how do I do that? Right? Like how do I do that? But first, I'm going to get into that in a minute, but let me share this other scripture with you about arrows, and it comes from Psalm 65. I'm turning there right now. Psalm 64, and it's verse 3. It says, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their bitter words like arrows. Words are powerful. And see, the thing is that when you are wounded, you receive a message from the hurt. For example, if somebody didn't protect you, the message could be, well, you're not worth fighting for. And unforgiveness is like it roots it inside of us, and it becomes like a mantra. And the enemy can use it by replaying what happened to us over and over and over again, right? So we'll keep replaying the message and the hurt. And so God says, if you want to win against the enemy, forgive. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, I believe it's in verse 11, but it's definitely in 2 Corinthians 2, so you can look that up there. Take some time to turn to it, but that the really unforgiveness is a scheme of the enemy, that he wants you to be divided, that he wants you to dine, eat, sit up and eat with him at the table, and he's serving up bitterness. Well, on the other side, God is serving up blessing. And when we release others, see, it's an act of faith that says you don't have the ability to redeem back what this hurt has lost. And I'm going to rest in God instead. And see, we've got to be real smart maybe to get away with God and to uncover what message was sent inside of our heart. Because when a message is sent inside of our heart, if somebody throws a fiery dart at us and says, you're so selfish, right? Maybe we heard that growing up. Then there's a shift that can happen. And the you are so selfish, that can become the I am, right? And so it becomes like a drumbeat in our life that we're not even aware of, and it's guiding our steps. And ironically, that the healing for this, it is the same mechanism that God uses with us. And, you know, when God forgives us, and that's what the Bible says, that we're to forgive others as God has forgiven us. By the way, that's another reason why confession is so powerful. That's another reason why reading those passages where you're comparing the two covenants, the old and the new covenant, reminds you of God's grace that you can go boldly before the throne. And then that's the same forgiveness and love that we must extend to others. And in that, when we release others, it frees our hands to receive from God. Now, recently we were launching a brand new website for Treasured Ministries, and I don't think I'd ever worked on a project so hard, because it wasn't just a website. We ended up creating lots of programs and different things like that on our website, and there was just a lot of work and a lot writing on it. And right before we launched it, I experienced a hurt and a loss from somebody that we were working with that we had entrusted to, and it was such an arrow. And in the time that it came, it was such an arrow. And when it came, I remember, and this is surely by the grace of God, because it could have been that I was just, God, what do I do? And I remember the Lord telling me, if you want to win, you need to let go, and don't even go down the road of unforgiveness. Don't do it. And can I tell you, and again, it was by the grace of God that I was able to do that, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, but that literally God redeemed that loss by opening up an incredible door for Treasured Ministries in such a way I never could have orchestrated. And I knew when it happened, I knew that God was saying, I've got your back. And you know what? He's got your back too. You know, sometimes though, the hurt can be so large. And a lot of times, if it's a hurt that happened in childhood where we really can't, we don't have the capacity to handle it, that wound travels with us for such a time. And maybe it is that you're listening and you've been sexually abused, and you want to say, Eileen, I've sat in church, I've tried so hard, and I'm not able to forgive. Can I encourage you today that God is able to help you with this? And one of the most powerful first steps you can take to forgive is by going inside God's presence and by being honest with him, by saying, Lord, you know what? I know I need to forgive, but I just don't want to, and I don't know how. Will you help me? And that's really a first step. And sometimes the Lord has to take us on a beautiful journey of forgiveness. But by coming to Him and asking for help, that is really the first step. And if you have experienced such a deep wound, such as divorce or adultery, I was talking to a woman this morning, or sexual abuse, or just extreme illness, and you're experiencing that wound, I want to encourage you today that your God loves you and He is for you, and that as you process the pain with Him by pulling into Him, that He will lead you step by step. Because see, we don't want evil to win. We don't want those arrows from the enemy to win. And what He wants us to do is He wants to sideline us, right? Like He wants to take us out of the game. 2 days ago, and this just tugged on my heart. So there was a woman that posted on Facebook, and she was explaining that she was denouncing Christianity because most of the people that had hurt her had been Christians, right? And my heart really went out to her, and I don't know her well, but I do know who she is, and I ended up reaching out to her. And what I said was, you know, I can understand because I've been hurt by church too, and I just wanted to tell you that I'm so sorry that this has happened to you. But I thought about how, you know, she stepped out of the game, and I remembered that time in my life that was so traumatic where I experienced that deep wound from church, and it just made me question everything. And I just, for a while, it took me a long time to get back into the game, but see, now that I am back, I'm stronger in the Lord and in my faith than I ever was. And see, God took that experience in my life to give me compassion for women who are wounded from the church and to pull them back in. So y'all be praying. I'm keeping in touch with her and texting her, and my what the Lord has told me is just to love on her right now and to know that she is not forgotten. And I just pray the Lord will give me an open door that I can share my story with her. But see, the point is, she said, "I'm stepping out of Christianity." And that's what the enemy wants us to do when the arrows fly, to get us to step out and stop advancing the kingdom. You know something? Victory in life is never about avoiding the arrows from the enemy or arresting the arrows. It is about extinguishing the arrows, extinguishing the fire that they bring in your life. And you do that through confession and repentance, worship and forgiveness. And in those places, and again, remember, you have to hold up that shield of faith so that, you know, you put it down once, you got to pick it back up again. And so don't feel down on yourself if you're insecure one day in your faith, or someone did something to you and you just can't get over you're jealous again and you haven't gone to the throne of God. Don't get in that place. Just get back up and get with God. And then one day at a time, one step at a time, you say, "You know what? No more, enemy. I'm making all my steps to advance the kingdom. So bring your fiery darts, because I've got all the faith that I need." And isn't that such a great picture in Ephesians 6? You know, that shield of faith, like resting under the faith of God. And that is when you and I, no matter what arrows we face, we can find the strength to stand and to carry on. And see, that's important, because perhaps it is that whether you've walked through sexual abuse or adultery or divorce, or maybe it is that you were wounded by words from a mother that you grew up with that never accepted you. You see, you pressing into Jesus, God's going to give you that solution for that soul hurt. And it is that very solution that God gives you through His Word, that there's going to be somebody else out there that needs that. And you can reach back up in, and that's the most powerful redemption, isn't it? When that is the most powerful redemption, when we can take all the junk that has happened to us in life and turn it around to help others. And so I just want to encourage you today to step back in the game, that the enemy is no match for your God. And I want to encourage you to lift that shield of faith so that one day at a time, one step at a time, you can become the woman that God created you to be. Thanks so much for listening in today. And I want to invite you, if you are struggling with that courage to follow your calling, I want to invite you to consider doing our study, Braveheart. You know, one of the great things about ordering resources from our website is that the funds that we receive from that website go right back in to help the ministry. So not only are you getting a resource that will feed your soul, but you're helping us to feed others as we share truth in God's word and empower women to hear that truth from for themselves by teaching them the Nourish Bible Study method. Thanks so much for joining in. I'd love for you to pass this podcast on to others and share about Treasured Ministries. We appreciate you so much, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. Bye-bye.